continuing our discussion of women and mitzvos. So last time we discussed tzitzis, this time we'll discuss tefillin. Now, obviously it's good to keep in mind that these mitzvos are very prominent in terms of whether men and women fulfill them because they're very much on the outside, that people can see whether someone else is wearing tzitzis. People can see even more if someone else is wearing tefillin. And therefore, these are, when people think that women don't have a lot of chiyuvim in mitzvos, so very often it's due to the fact that the mitzvos that they are pater from are very much external types of mitzvos. Now, in the olam of machshava, certainly individuals like Rav Shimshon Paul Hirsch and many who preceded him will discuss at length why that is so, why men have much more of a need for externals than do women, and that is certainly a true thing. But here we're just taking a perspective of halacha. We're not really discussing in terms of hashkafa or the reasons why, but just in terms of, you know, getting the nuts and bolts and the technicalities of why this is so. So we will start from a discussion that is based in the Gemara in Maseches Erevin. So in Maseches Erevin, the Gemara is trying to discuss back and forth, according to Rashi at least, whether a woman would be in violation of Bal Tosif if she decides to volunteer a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. And the Gemara brings a raya from a braisa about Michal Bas Shaul, who used to wear tefillin, and no one said a word to him, or to her, excuse me. No one said anything to her. They thought that that was appropriate behavior. So based on that, Rashi understands the Gemara is proving that tefillin is not a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. That is the understanding of Rashi. Just to quote you the Lashon of the Braisa, in Erev in Tzadik Vav, Amin Aleph, Titanya, Michal Bas Kushi, Hoysa Manachas Tfilin, Velo Michu Ba Chacham. That Michal, why she's called Bas Kushi, Bas Shaul, it was, her father's name was Shaul, no, undoubtedly, and Michal Bas Kushi used to wear Tfilin, and no one said a word to her, none of the Chachamim protested or thought there was anything wrong with it. So Rashi understands that means that she, clearly she was not in violation of Bal Tosif, and thus you can categorize the mitzvah of tefillin in such a way. However, Tosfos on the daf, as well as the Rashba, have a different understanding of what's going on in the statement of the Gemara. Now, what I'm going to do is read the Rashba inside. The Rashba, I believe, is a little bit clearer than Tosfos, although they both, I think, make the exact same point, as does the Rashba think that he makes the exact same point as Tosfos. So let's learn the Rashba. So the Rashba says, based on the Gemara, that from the fact that the Chachamim did not protest, so clearly they agree that tefillin is not a Zman Grama, meaning that women would be chayiv to wear tefillin. So he says, wait a second. Even if it was a mitzvah saseh shezman grama, why would anyone have a problem with this? Rabbi Yehuda Nami Islay Ein Nashim Somchos Amailo. And once we're throwing in this idea that nobody had a problem with Michal wearing tefillin, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda has a problem with women doing smicha? Now, smicha in this case refers to when you bring certain korbanos. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you bring a korban shlamim. So you are obligated to place your hands on the head of the shlamim and do the mitzvah of smicha, which means to push down on the korban with all of your might. So why would women not be allowed to do that? We have a gzera sakasuv that men are chayiv in smicha and women are not chayiv in smicha. So why is it that women should not be allowed to volunteer this mitzvah? Umayishna misuka da'af nashim yoshvos ba, afil Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, even Rabbi Yehuda says women can't do smicha, holds that women can sit in the sukkah, even though they are parted from that. The Shamina lay the Rabbi Yehuda, the sukkah, damar hilani amalka, isi yoshevas besukkah, meshiva banea ima. So we have an example that Rabbi Yehuda himself tells the story of hilani amalka sitting in the sukkah with her children. The iika besmicha uvahanachas tefillin mishum bal tosif ala mitzvos af besukkah nami loteshin. And if what we were concerned about was bal tosif, so, sukkah would also be a violation of Bal Tosif. So that is the kasha of the Rashba, basically. And without misinterpreting what the Rashba is saying, basically an easier to understand version of this kasha is, why is it that in some mitzvahs, aseh shezman grama, nobody seems to have a problem with women volunteering to do them, and with other mitzvahs, aseh shezman grama, we seem to have a problem with it. Yesh lomar, so says the Rashba, debachol ha-mitzvos, kevin da-anashim chayavim, af anashim einim chayavos mishim baltos. Any mitzvos where men are chayav to do them, if a woman were to do it, she would not be in violation of baltos. Dekula hi shehikila ha-torah etzal anashim lemiftar min ha-mitzvos sheh zman grama. Because the way we look at women being parted from zman grama is we look at it as a leniency. It's that the women were not bothered to have to fulfill these mitzvahs. The Torah let them off the hook. It's not that the Torah said, you may not. Dumya, disuma, similar to the fact that many assume in the Gemara, it's machlokes in the Gemara, that a blind man is pater mikol ha-mitzvahs ve'inov over bohem yishim baltosik, but a suma certainly has the right to volunteer to do the mitzvahs, and he's not in violation of baltosik. Avos besmichas kadshim v'hanachas tefillin utkia shofar v'aliyah l'regel she'amru da'asuros Rabbi Yehuda da'amar de'ein nashim somchos rishus. So he brings a few different examples of mitzvos where there are at least singular opinions in the Gemara that women may not do these mitzvos. And the examples that he brings are smicha, as well as putting on tefillin, blowing the shofar, which we know lahalacha. And we'll try to get to it in our series. We know the halacha that women are very much in fulfillment of the mitzvah tkiyah shofar nowadays, as well as aliyah l'regel, which entails going to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing a korban olas re'iyah. In those cases, it is said, at least one opinion of the Gemara says, it's usher for women to do this, and Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Eina, Nashim Song Chos Rishos, and Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that women can't even do the voluntary type of smicha, this is not based on baltosif. There's a special din when it comes to tefillin that they require that a person's both body and thoughts be completely clean. Body meaning that a person is supposed to not have to use the restroom when they're wearing tefillin, and if they do have to use the restroom, they must remove the tefillin immediately until they relieve themselves. And also the mind, the person's not supposed to be mesiach das from the fact that they are wearing tefillin and act inappropriately with the tefillin on. The nashim ein zrizos lehizar l'shomer benikius, and it was uncommon at the time for women to be careful enough to keep a guf naki both in body and in mind to be wearing tefillin. That so therefore, since part of the requirement of wearing tefillin is that one keep a guf naki, it is therefore something that we do not permit women to engage in. V'aliyah l'regel, so why shouldn't we allow women to be ola regel? Mishum demechsei kemeviyah hulim la'azar. Because those who see her bringing the korban, if she's bringing kishemeviyah ola sri'iyah, she's going to bring in korban ola when she goes up to be ola regel. It's going to look like she's bringing an unconsecrated animal in the Beis HaMikdash, which is a chiyuv kareish. You have to take an animal which you specifically give kedusha as a korban ola, and then bring it as an ola sri'iyah. It continues the Rashba, af al gav de rishus, even though she's technically permitted to do so, meaning she could bring a voluntary korban ola at that time, but it's somewhat misleading because women are pater from aliyah l'regel, therefore it looks like she's just bringing a korban that she was not commanded in, which is true, but we're afraid that it's also going to look like she was not mekadesh, she wasn't makdish, the animal, excuse me. She did not give it the proper kedusha to be brought as a korban ola. Inami, or another possibility, mishum re'iyas panam ba'azara, because there is a problem. We didn't want women showing up in the azara. She'in nashim nechnasas ba'azara shelo litzorech. We don't allow, or we don't want women showing up in the azara for no particular reason. Vad Yerushalayim ba mishum simcha. Really, women would come to Yerushalayim to be ola regel, to participate in the mitzvah of simchas yontif, which they are obligated in to some extent or another. We'll see that discussion later. Avala harabayis ein atzricha la'alos l'kach. However, there is no reason that she is obligated to go all the way to the harabayis. Generally, the women would remain in the city part of Yerushalayim and not go all the way to the mikdash. Usmicha mishum avoda b'kodshim. And what are we worried about? Smicha, because it's considered utilizing a kodesh animal for your own purposes. Afilu ba'kofas yad. Maybe even this were true if you just put your hands above the head. Okay, we'll just give the short version of what he's saying over here. Generally, smicha is done b'chol kocho, that a person has to push down on the head of the animal with all of his might. And if a woman were to do so, when she's not chayiv in the mitzvah of smicha, that would be an iser de'oraisa of using kudshim to hold yourself up, meaning you're pushing down in a way that the animal, had the animal not been there, you would fall right over. So therefore, if the animal is what's keeping you up, and you have no mitzvah of doing smicha, therefore you are in violation of utilizing kudshim for your own private purposes, which is an iser de'oraisa. Then he goes in, he says, even just to put your hands above the head, maybe that would even be in violation. This is a machlokes, not related to our discussion exactly, but there's a discussion of women perhaps doing a varied form of smicha. The bottom line is that the Rashba is talking about specific mitzvos that will have a downside. If a woman wears tefillin and she's not commanded in the mitzvah, that is not indicative that she's not allowed to volunteer mitzvah sasasheshes man grama. She's just not allowed to volunteer mitzvah sasasheshes man grama that could lead to a negative. And that's the idea that the Rashba has over here. That's the idea that Tosfos has, that it's all about the negative possible outcome. We allow women to volunteer all mitzvah sasasheshes man grama, and we're not concerned at all with Bal Tosif. We're just concerned that maybe this will be considered a negative outcome and not worth the voluntary nature of the mitzvah. And that's, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, this is what we find, this is what we find quoted in the Ramah. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Lamed Ches Seif Gimel, Nashim Vavad Turim Mitfilin, women and avadim are both potter from tefillin, and neshi mitzvah sasasheshes man grama, because we paskin that it's a mitzvah sasasheshes man grama. Adds the Ramah, v'manashim rotzim lahachmir al atzman, mochin v'yadim. And if women want to be machmir and volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin, they want to wear tefillin, even though they're not commanded to do so, we protest. We say that this is not allowed. And this is quoted from the Kolbo, Rishon from the traditions of the Baalei Atosis. And the Magen Avraham explains why. Because tefillin require a guf naki, as we have described before, that a person has to be both of clean body and clean mind. The nashim einan zrizos lehizahir. And women were not necessarily careful in keeping a guf naki. They were not sufficiently careful. Meaning, why do we keep saying that women are not sufficiently careful? Are men sufficiently careful? We'll get back to that in a second. So says the Magen Avraham, if they would be chayav in the mitzvah, that reason would not be sufficient to pater them. They would basically have to force themselves to be careful. So the idea that we're talking about over here is that the Magen Avraham is stressing that if women would be chayav in wearing tefillin, then they would have to force themselves to be careful and put on the tefillin. Now, is that really worth it? Meaning, is it going to be a net positive if women put on tefillin? Let's say they were chayiv, or you don't have to say, let's say, men who are chayiv in tefillin, many men are not careful to keep a gufnaki. And even if they're careful to keep the physical gufnaki, they're not necessarily careful to not be mesiyachas, especially bizman hazeh. You see people, wearing tefillin and davening and talking during davening. You see people wearing tefillin and during davening and playing on their phones during davening. You see all kinds of people, and this seemingly would constitute a bizayon to the tefillin and is a severe violation of ruining the kavod tefillin. So the fact that men are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin does not always have the desired effect that they're going to be careful. Also, based on this idea, we can understand why Michal Bashol the Chachamim were not bothered by the fact that she put on tefillin. She was obviously a very unique individual, and she felt qualified and confident that she was going to be able to keep the proper gufnaki and not be Mesiach Das in an improper way, which I would imagine she was successful at. So how does this play out when it comes to men? So the answer is that if you look in Simon Lamed Zayin Seif Beis in the Shulchan Aruch, you see how this plays out for men as well. says the Mechaber, mitzvasan liyosam alav kol hayom. Really, the mitzvah of tefillin is that one is supposed to be wearing tefillin all day. And if you skip to the Bior Halacha, Divramaskal mitzvasan, so he says, ayin b'prima gadim, shemistapik im minatora chayev kol hayom, o minatora dai berega echot shemaniach, o midrabanam kol hayom. So the prima gadim is unsure whether this obligation to wear tefillin all day is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabanan. So at the very least, it's a din d'rabanan that someone is supposed to be wearing tefillin the entire day. It might even be a chiyuv min ha-Torah. Back to the Shulchan Aruch. Avol mipnei shetzrichim guf naki. But because people need to keep a clean body, shelo yafiach b'hem, the people shouldn't flatulate while wearing the tefillin. The shelo yesiach daito mehem, a person shouldn't lose his focus and act inappropriately or even have inappropriate thoughts while wearing tefillin. The ein kol adam yachol lizar b'hem, and not everyone is capable of doing this. Nagu shelo lahanicho kol hayom. The practice became that one does not wear tefillin all day. U'mikol makom tzarech kol adam lizar b'hem liyosam alav b'shas kriyashma u'tefila. Nevertheless, everyone has to be, at the very bare minimum, careful to be wearing tefillin while saying Kriya Shema and davening. What's the reason for this? This is based on the Gemara in Brachos, which says that a person who says Kriya Shema without tefillin on is ki'ilu meyid edus sheker al atzmo. It's like you're testifying falsely about yourself, meaning that you're supposed to wear tefillin when you say Kriya Shema, because in the parshios of Kriya Shema, it talks about the fact that you're chayav to wear tefillin. And thus, one is obligated to continue to wear tefillin while saying Kriya Shema, to avoid that particular net negative of saying Kriya Shema without tefillin on. In fact, the Dag Omer Vav, I believe it is, that the commentary of the Ode Yehuda on the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say a person is going to miss the Zman Kriya Shema in the morning, so he has to say Kriya Shema before he begins davening. So a person is best, if they can make it before the end of the Zman, a person is going to say just Kriya Shema. One should do so with tefillin on. You should put the tefillin on before you start davening, even though a lot of times you'll come to shul and they'll say, oh, there's only 10 minutes till Kriya Shema, so say Kriya Shema right now, and then you'll put on your talis and tefillin and start davening. Really, the better thing to do, if you have 15 minutes, and it seems like that's enough time to pull it off, so you should put on your talis and tefillin first, says the Nodi Behuda, then you're supposed to say Kriya Shema with the talis and tefillin on, so you're not in violation of testifying falsely against yourself. Some suggest that this applies to tzitzis as well. Some say the Gemara dafka said tefillin and not tzitzis, but nevertheless, we do talk about the fact that a person is obligated to wear tzitzis during the third parsha of Kriya Shema, and therefore there is room to suggest, at the very least, that one should be wearing tzitzis when saying Kriya Shema as well. Now, based on all of this, we understand that there is a minimum shear for men who have to wear tefillin. Really, they're supposed to be wearing them all day, but we say at the very least you should wear them for Kriya Shema and tefillah. And therefore, we tell men to wear tefillin for while davening shacharis, but after they're done with shacharis, they're really supposed to take their tefillin off. Some have the custom that they'll, if they're in yeshiva especially, and they have a little bit of free time, or even some who don't have so much free time and they have to go to work, but they'll sit and learn with their tefillin on a little bit after davening. This is questionable. I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't do it. I'm just suggesting that they should do a she'elas chacham. They should ask a shayla from a rav, because I have actually heard from one of my rebbeim that this is not a proper practice. The poskim already from the days of the Rishonim suggested that people should not be wearing tefillin all day. And all day includes wearing them no more than the minimum amount of time, which the minhag Yisrael is to wear them during shacharis. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there's specific dinim that you're supposed to keep them on at the very least till the end of Avodat Zion. And maybe it's even kedai to get that last amen yeshmei rabbah for the last kaddish. So maybe don't take your tefillin off until the final kaddish. But after that, it's not so pashut that it's kedai to keep your tefillin on at that point. Some will keep it on so because they say, I'm learning Torah anyway, I'm supposed to be of clean body and clean thoughts while I learn Torah. And others will say, who do you think you are? You think you're capable of wearing tefillin more so than the average individual? That is not so pashut. And they'll point to you, what about this great Rav? What about this Talmud Chacham who does it? Okay, so maybe you are them and maybe you're not them. But newsflash, you're not them. So you probably shouldn't imitate their ways. maybe you should actually ask them. Perhaps if you ask them, they will tell you you should wear your tefillin, and that will be the answer that you were looking for, and you're good to go. But perhaps if you ask them, they will tell you that no, they're able to do it because they were Mishire, they did a significant cheshbon nefesh, and they came to the conclusion that they could pull it off. But maybe that doesn't mean that every single person should do exactly as they do. Okay, that is the point when it comes to men. Just to finish off the Bira Halacha, he says that really there is a chiyuv to wear tefillin all day, either midaraisa or midarabanan. But lua achsha shein lanu guf naki, right? And but nowadays we don't do it because we don't have a sufficiently clean body. Umasik the ikaron shel dvarim, that the main idea the lohiniach yom echad klal tefillin bital mitzvah say. If you went a whole day without wearing tefillin, that's when you nullified the mitzvah. So say, that's when you were mevatel the mitzvah. Uvaniach rega alav kiyem hamitzvah. But if you wore them even for a moment, you were mekayim the mitzvah. Mitzvah namukar menat Torah liosan al kol hayom ha'ishah. He says, but if you look in the Prima Gadim, you really should be wearing them all day. V'seif v'yeshuas Yaakov pasak the menat Torah mitzvahsan kol hayom. And the Yeshuas Yaakov, another achron, on the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that really the mitzvah is midaraisa to wear them all day. So why am I bringing this up? Because this is not a discriminatory thing against women. The men aspect of wearing tefillin is actually min haTorah, according to at least two major achronim, min haTorah that one is supposed to be wearing tefillin all day. However, because of this difficulty of keeping a guf naki and having the problem of hesach hadas, we don't allow men to be mekayim this mitzvah d'oraisa that they are obligated to be mekayim. And we just say you have to be mekayim the mitzvah in the most minimalistic fashion to avoid a different net negative of being made edus sheker al atzmacha by saying kriyashma and tefillah without tefillin on. So it's true that this actually affects everybody. Meaning, if a man, again, I'm making up this scenario, I don't claim to have any insider information, but if you have a man goes up to Shemayim having worn tefillin all day, every day of his life, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, so he comes up there and they interview him and they say, why do you have all of these dozens and hundreds of mitzvos of being mezalzel in the kavod of your tefillin? You have all these negative marks against you. So he say, what do you mean? I'm supposed to wear tefillin all day. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to wear tefillin all day. And the response will be, hello, the Shulchan Aruch already paskin that you don't have the right to wear tefillin all day, because even though it is a chiyuv min haTorah, people were not doing it properly and it was ending up as a net negative, and therefore we paskin you should only wear tefillin for the most minimal amount of time. And look, if during that time you still weren't able to keep a guf naki and be mesiach das, so then already you should have gotten it together for that short amount of time in order to fulfill your obligation of saying kriyat shma tefillah with your tefillin on. So then we would have perhaps accepted your excuse that you had such trouble keeping it together, because at least you were doing what was deemed to be the most minimal obligation. But who told you to wear tefillin longer than that? You were responsible for the net negative that came about because you were wearing tefillin in a way that you were not commanded to do so. So now envision the same thing. A woman comes up to Shemayim and they say to her, listen, it's very nice that you wanted to wear tefillin and you were really very good at it and you were not mesiach das from the tefillin very much and you mostly kept the guf naki, but you have this 150, 200 times over the course of a lifetime where you violated this mitzvah of being mesiach das from the tefillin. And the question is, why would you do such a thing? And the answer is, I really wanted to wear tefillin. And the response is, but we never commanded you to wear tefillin. You never had a chiyuv to wear tefillin in the first place, that you would have the excuse to produce this net negative. And therefore, the Rishonim already pointed out that one is not permitted to volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin if not obligated in it because of the possible net negative that could come from this mitzvah.